Advent season. This is week two that we're talking about Advent. And during the Advent season, we're focusing on four words, all of them with tremendous meaning and tremendous impact. There are people and churches and places that will light wreaths during this Christmas season, this Advent season. Pardon me. And there'll be four candles and the Christ center, so four tapered candles around a wreath, and then a pillar candle in the middle. Pillar candle could be referred to as the Christ candle. But my thought behind this Christmas season sermons is to focus on these four words, but not that we would, as we have in the past, light a wreath with candles, but instead that there would be a light lit inside of us that would shine, that the flame of light would be ignited in each of us, that people would be able to see that the brightness in us shines brighter than the lights around us, that there would be such a brightness of the life of Christ in us, having to do with these four words, hope, joy, love, and peace. It's interesting, as you look at the words, you can see there's something that connects all of them, and that's that Jesus came to give you all these things. Hope, joy, love, and peace. And the enemy of your soul has come to steal all of those things away from you. Jesus wants to give you authentic hope, authentic joy, authentic love, authentic peace that will last for eternity. And the enemy wants to distract you with false hope, with false joy, with false love, with false peace that will only last temporarily. Jesus can give you a hope, a joy, a love, and a peace inside that no one can take away. Last week we as well looked at, when we were looking at hope, about the scripture that talks about be ready to give an answer or a defense for the hope that is within you. And we talked about in the midst of a storm, and as Paul was on the ship headed towards, sailing towards Italy, sailing towards Rome, the storm arose, and how he was able to be a voice of hope in a very dark time. And that we would be the voice of hope in the midst of storms to those around us. People aren't looking for faith, they're looking for hope. They're not looking to know what we believe. They're looking to somehow get hope in their lives. Of course our hope is based in our faith. But even if someone doesn't believe what we believe, at least they can clearly see that we believe it and that it's given us hope. And that we are a people of hope and we live with hope. And we closed the service last Sunday with this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And so hopefully you had a week of letting your light shine that people could see that you're a person of hope. Well, today we're going to talk about the candle of joy. And there was a chief justice in the United States at the turn of last century named Oliver Wendell Holmes, and he arose to great influence in the U.S. legal system. And after about 30 years or so of serving, he was asked about his career choice. Why did you choose to enter the legal system, Chief Justice line? And he's recorded to have said, you know, when I was considering my life course, my career path, I considered entering the ministry, and may have, if it weren't for all the clergymen I knew who looked like undertakers. I might have, if the preacher people just didn't look so sad. If somehow it showed up in their face that they were happy, perhaps. When a few years ago we went to Costa Rica, and we sang a song in Spanish, Yo tengo gozo, 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 gozo en mi corazón. ¿Dónde? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. And guess what? It's down in my heart to stay. The trouble is, some people have joy so far down in their hearts, you can't recognize it. It's buried so deep. And somehow I think we need to let our face in on the action, in our words and in our attitudes. And that's not so easy. And it's not somehow just presenting joy as some slap-happy salesman receiving line smile that we put on it, just our face hurts. But joy is something beyond that. I phoned a pastor friend in Airdrie this past week. He had to talk about some stuff and asked what he was doing. He said, "Well, I just got some really bad news. I got some difficult news." He said, "I'm just writing my sermon on joy. And after that, I need to walk through this situation." And it wasn't that somehow the sermon on joy is invalid. It's that difficult things happen and we get difficult pieces of information and news and struggles. Having the light of joy in us is not somehow a denial of struggle or difficulty or disappointment, but it is a declaration that our joy is anchored. Not in temporary things, but that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in this, that we're passing through. Whatever it is, we're passing through. And even death will not have the final say. There's so many things that touch us or touch the people that we care about. We walk through this life that are genuinely tragically sorrowful and deeply unjust and undeniably a result of living in a fallen world. So many things that were never God's intent. Don't eat of the fruit, he said to Adam and Eve, or bad things will happen. But today we're talking about joy and a joy within us. And certainly there's one text that I think demands us looking at it. If you have your Bibles, you want to join me, if you would, in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read all 14 verses together. There is an authentic joy that God has for his kids, and it's out of this world. Because it's not based in the temporary things of this world. It's out of the world, out of this world, but it has come into this world. And his name is Jesus. And it came to pass, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was. While they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." I doubt he said that. "Don't be afraid." "Do not be afraid." You know, who knows the tone? "Do not be afraid, for behold," here it is, I bring you good tidings, you. I bring you the gospel. I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Good news of great joy to all people. There's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But this is not automatic good news or automatic great joy. The message that there is a Savior, it is good news, but the problem is that part of that message is first that people need to recognize that they're in need of saving. It's the acknowledgement. Joseph, angel spoke to him in a dream in Matthew 1:21. It says, and talking about Mary, "She'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This announcement from heaven, that he will save them from their sins. For some, it's easier to admit that we have sin in our lives. For me, it's always been needed. It's always been easy to admit that I've needed forgiveness, I need forgiveness, and I'm going to need forgiveness. I acknowledge that readily. But for others, some it can be both a denial of the need to be forgiven because I'm not so bad, I haven't done this, or compared to another person, I'm not so bad, this comparing. Or I've done a lot of good. I've done a lot of good, and certainly my good outweighs the bad. It's this reasoning like doing our taxes, where we look and we see, okay, well, I've made this much, but I've already paid this much, and I've maxed out on my giving. So at when my tax return comes back, because I've already paid so much, and I've done so much and given so much, I'm probably going to get a refund. In fact, at the end of the day, when I stand before God, He probably owes me. Right? It's this reasoning of, look how much good I've done. Compared to the bad, it outweighs it. Put it in the scales. There are religions that believe that. If at the end of the day, when the clock strikes and we stand before God, if there's more good in the scale than bad, we win. But when we talk about the good news, we start with the message that the wages of sin is death. And that we need to be forgiven. And that can be really hard for some to hear. We need to finish the whole message for it to be good news. This week, I mentioned my new friend Michelle, the director of the daycare. I was having a conversation with her this week because the washing machine, we've got a washer and dryer in a little utility room over here. Daycare uses it. School for Autistic Students uses it. Our janitors use it. We've got a washer and dryer in the building, and the washer stopped working. I came in and had a look at it, went to Michelle's office, and I said, I've got good news and bad news. What do you want first? She said, the bad news always. Okay. So the bad news is I can get it to spin. I've done a few things. I can get it working, but there is no water coming into it. Water's on. Did a number of troubleshooting things. I said, the bad news is it's broken. So we talked about, okay, so what do we do moving forward? How are we going to address this? And then as I was leaving, Michelle called out, stop, wait, what's the good news? And I paused and I stopped for a minute and I said, I have confirmed it's broken. I guess there isn't any good news. You know, it's this moment of, you've told me the bad news, but I need to hear the good news. And the angel said, this is good news to all people. We can't leave it at the bad news. We've got to include, but what's the good news? Bringing people to an awareness that we are sinners in need of forgiveness is only part of the message. It's an acknowledgement. It's where we start. But we come to this place and we're so grateful there is good news. We can be forgiven. For the gospel to be presented to people, there is good news. And we include it. The message of the gospel was great joy to all people. And that's the intent. That's the goal. That's the culmination of the message. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, but it starts with recognizing we need saving, that we've sinned, and the penalty for sin is death. The good news is the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news of great joy, it becomes great joy when the news is shared, when the news is received. When we share the good news, when we share the message, when it's received by someone who, as easy as ABC, it admits their sin. Yeah, I have sinned, I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. For some, they come and immediately things come to our minds, this. For others, just say, I have walked independently of God, I've walked my own way. Whatever it is, big things, little things, all things, I have fallen short. I have missed the mark. And not only do we stop at the admission, though, then we believe. We believe that Jesus, He came, He gave His life for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He died for us. He died in our place. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for us. But then He rose, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. So we say we believe that, and then we confess with our mouth. We confess the Lord Jesus. Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. I want to follow You. Help me to follow You. And Scripture will tell us that that if we openly declare, if we confess the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that we'll be saved, and it goes on to say, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is good news. When it takes place, not only is the gift of salvation deposited, but with it, there's a gift of joy. There's a gift of joy and love and hope and peace. And sometimes for some people, the weight of guilt that is lifted is just so tangible. And there is like a wave of joy that just crashes over them, and it's just there, bam, and rejoicing and hallelujah, and I'm free and I'm saved, and just this joy. For other people, even though the joy is deposited, there's a growing in it. And I don't know how different I feel, but we grow, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we discover that in us is growing, a growing of joy. As He leads us in the path of life, as we walk with Him, there's a fullness of joy that comes, because it's in His presence that there's fullness of joy. And a transformation takes place. And even one of the demonstrations or the evidences of God working in our life, even one of those things is joy. The fruit or the evidence. Look at my life. God's working in me. And you can see, you can pick out, there's someone who's got joy. And it comes because of a work of His Spirit. So many people, before they meet Jesus, before they really meet Him, have believed that the lie that God just wants to take our joy away. If I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up all of these things, all of these fun things anymore. God wants to take away my joy. Listen, God doesn't want to take away our joy. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us fullness of joy. He wants to give us a real joy, not some smoke screen of the enemy who wants to cloud real joy with the fake stuff. God does want to protect you from a whole lot of things. And so, we might say, well, we don't get to do this. Yeah, but we're also then not locked in a bondage of addiction for the rest of our life. Or we don't get to do that. It also doesn't cost us our reputation or our marriage. We don't get to do this, but fair enough. But then we don't lay on our deathbed wishing we had a do-over of all of the regrets that we have piled up because we just lived free. Freedom isn't just doing whatever we want. Freedom is the ability to choose what's right. And that God gives us guidelines and rule. He gives us responsibilities and regulations. He gives us a path of life to give us fullness of joy, not to take our joy away. We didn't sing this morning, "Joy to the World, Microsoft has come." And we didn't sing, "Joy to the World, the new iPhone was released." We didn't sing, "Joy to the World, the new car has come out." We didn't sing, "Joy to the World, the new quilt store has opened." Whatever. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's not based in temporal things. If you derive your joy from temporary things, your joy will be temporal. Our joy needs to be based in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And He gives us a joy that can't be taken away. And it said, great joy. Great joy. Not just a little. Not just a little dabble do you. It's this huge, magnificent joy. Abundant joy. And it's not just somehow joy that causes us to laugh. Oh, laughing's great. And you can laugh at a funny joke. You can laugh at an incredibly funny pastor. But sometimes people laugh to cover up their hurt. And it's not a sign of joy at all. And sometimes you can laugh at things that we ought not, that in a mocking way. And sometimes we laugh inappropriately. And on the flip side, tears don't necessarily indicate a lack of joy. Sometimes there's tears of joy. Laughing, crying, all it happens on the outside. It's external. But the joy that God gives us is internal, and it does show up. It's just beyond an emotion. It's beyond a feeling. It's a condition. It's a condition, and I hope that somehow the joy of the Lord in my life shows up in such a way that you and other people can notice. That you look at my life, or you talk about me, and say, what's wrong with Barry? he's got a condition. Well, is it serious? Oh, yeah. It's incurable. What's he got? He's got joy. He's got what? He's got joy. Where? It's down in his heart. Where? It's down in his heart. Well, can we get it out? Nope. It's down in his heart to stay. He's got joy, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Because it's not based in temporal things. In fact, he's not only got the joy, he's got the joy. And I hope it's contagious. He's got this condition called joy, and it's starting to show everywhere. And it's contagious. People are starting to catch it. May that be said of all of our lives. Because our joy is not based in temporal things. There's a joy in the Lord, and there causes a resilience and a strength in us. We're able to declare we can go through anything because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He came to give us joy, and not just joy, but great joy. Glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and that's something to rejoice about. We rejoice in the Lord. Closing, three things. Number one, great joy to all people. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's good news. May we be people who bring that good news to others. They need to hear the good news. We need to be people who share the gospel, that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. However we share that, by sharing our testimony, as we've been learning in our Life Together groups about sharing our story. This is what my life was like. Then this is what caused me to turn to God. This is how I turned to God. And this is my life since I've been walking with the Lord. So sharing our testimony, including scriptures, including the Romans scriptures of the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. God demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We share the gospel, the good news, but it's wrapped up in that phrase, there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. May we be those, first thing, may we be those who share the good news of the gospel this season. God, open doors for us to be able to share the good news that will bring people hope and joy and love and peace this season and for all eternity. Secondly, if you have been lacking joy, if somehow your joy has been misplaced, I believe this morning that God has a gift for you. The psalmist said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Restore unto me. You may look at your life and say, I remember a time, I remember a moment, I remember a season when there was so much joy, but it's been so hard for so long. That somewhere joy has got misplaced. Joy has got hidden. It's down, and it's just not there. Listen, it's more than a feeling. It's more than an emotion. It's a gift God has for you today. Restore to me a work of His Spirit, a work by His Spirit that God can breathe in you, just like He breathed the breath of life and man became a living being. He can breathe joy into you as we remember where our joy is rooted. It's that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we're passing through temporal waters. And then thirdly, let there be a joy in our heart, but not so deep that other people can see it. You can't see it. That it would overflow. Nothing's full until it overflows. Nothing's full until it overflows. So may there be such an infilling and a demonstration that we've got no joy. Not a denial, just somehow something fake. But in all of, not a denial of sorrow or circumstance, but a real joy that we can have joy, and that overflows our lives to impact other people. May people notice in us a candle lit of hope and of joy this season. Let's go ahead and pray.